Good evening. I am very edified by your presence here tonight, considering the tornadic winds and downpour that we just had. But I hope to be able to offer you something edifying for your presence here as well. We'll begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our topic for tonight is having an intense devotion to Mary and to her heart. I would like to start with a word association. Benedictines, Dominicans, Redemptorist, Servites. You are probably aware that these are colloquial titles of various well-known religious communities. All four of these religious communities have a profound and tender devotion to Mary. In fact, if we were to broaden the number from four to, let's say, every religious community that has ever existed in the history of the church, which would be a lot, we would find something very interesting. Every single religious community has begun, develops, and operates under the signs of Mary and has a devotion to her. Did you know that? I think I did. I just became more aware of it as I was preparing for this talk. In the book, Religious in the Footsteps of Mary, Father Alberto Rum states that each religious institute sounds a special note in the church's perpetual praise of Mary. Each order throws light on a facet of that celestial beauty of Mary, mirrored in the beauty of the church. From this statement, we can conclude that it is true that every single religious community has devotion to Mary. Yet, there is a wonderful nuance in the quote that I just read to you. Even though every religious community has a devotion to Mary, no community has the exact same devotion as another. To take the point further, even among religious communities that have a specifically Marian character, especially those that are named after Our Lady, for example, the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary of Wichita, there is a wonderful distinction in how this devotion is both understood and lived. What a marvelous array of devotion. Imagine that reality for just a moment. What a wonderful truth this reveals about Mary. Even with the hundreds of religious communities and the hundreds of unique expressions of devotion to Mary, we still fall short of exhausting the celestial beauty of Mary. All of you here tonight know our community and our sisters. Some of you have known us for many years. Do you know what is the distinctive note that we as Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary offer in the church's perpetual praise of Mary? I have thoughtfully pondered this question for myself, and I have continued to ask myself the further question, how am I, as a sister of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, personally living this out? This reality is where I would like to focus our attention tonight. What is particular about our Marian devotion as Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary? Secondly, how might this special gift of our charism serve as a means of inspiration for not just our sisters, but for each of you in your own personal relationship with Our Lady? The teaching on religious life is very clear, that because of our particular IHM charism, which is specifically Marian in character, we must achieve something more in regards to devotion to Mary. This something more was communicated to us by our father founder, Father Joaquin Masmija. He was the first to receive the charismatic gift of our institute, and he faithfully conveyed it to our sisters through the constitutions. As I was preparing for this talk, I was struck in a new and deeper way by the marked distinction between our unique charism, including the devotion that we as IHMs have to Mary, and the comparison that can be made with other religious orders, especially those that are Marian in character and also have been dedicated to Our Lady. Let us investigate the differences. It is apparent in religious institutes named after Our Lady that devotion to Mary occupies an important place, particularly in the piety of the community. Yet, in some of these communities, their devotion to Mary is not necessarily the goal or the reason why the community was founded. Their mission may actually be more apostolic or charitable. In contrast, as IHMs, not only are we named after Our Lady, but our devotion to Mary is so distinguishing that it is actually the very spirit and life by which our community exists. This beautiful aim was directly assigned to our community by Father Mazmija, and it permeates everything about our community. Our devotion to Mary forms the essence of our identity as a religious institute. The heart of Mary is the spirit of our community. I will offer a few examples from a wonderful study that was published about our community to explain this point. The inspiration for our community was actually initiated by Mary. Father Mazmija recounts his experience of praying before an image of the Pietà and receiving the gift of our charism through Our Lady's intercession. From the very beginning, Father Mazmija placed our community under the special protection of Mary. He intentionally instructed the sisters to contemplate Mary's heart and her cooperation with Christ in his mission of redemption. He explained to the sisters that all of the apostolic efforts and plans of the Institute were integrally connected to this contemplative union with Mary and through Mary with Christ. In addition, every good work performed by the sisters and the Institute essentially came to fruition through Mary's powerful and motherly intercession. These are just a few of the illustrations that help to make this point, and the humble truth stands clear. The heart of Mary is the life and spirit of our Institute. Father Mazmija offered the sisters the constitutions to direct them in living out the charism and in fostering devotion to Mary. He also wrote numerous letters to the sisters, in which one finds many indications of his own personal devotion to Our Lady. It is quite heartening to read his letters and to see evidences of how his devotion intensified throughout the years. He referred to Mary frequently in his letters, and he included her in his greetings. Whenever he mentioned Jesus' name, Father Mazmija also included Mary's name. He understood the unequaled intimacy and the exquisitely transcendent character of the love and union shared by their two hearts. He didn't want them to be separated even in his writings. One of the greatest gifts that Father Mazmija gave to the sisters to assist them in living their devotion to Mary was his own example. His relationship with Mary was the best model by which all of the sisters could learn the art of fostering a deep, loving and lasting devotion to Mary. I have often thought of how wonderful it would have been to meet Father Mazmija. His biographers describe him as an extremely virtuous and holy man. What a gift it would have been to learn how to love Mary by witnessing the lived example of one of her great devotees, our very own Father Founder. Through our charism, we can see that devotion to Mary and to her heart is meant to be lived, and it is to be lived intensely. I would like to venture into this topic more directly in the last part of the talk. Today, our community and each one of our sisters endeavors to answer this great call. We are eagerly striving to deepen our understanding of how we as IHMs are called to the something more in devotion to Mary. We personally ponder how to live devotion to Mary and how to make our devotion something meaningful and real. Growing in our relationship with Mary touches both the mind and the heart. It entails a dynamic relationship that is both transcendent yet very imminent. As I was reading through the study of our community, I was intrigued by another point about our community's foundation that I had never realized before. Father Mazmija zealously directed the sisters to honor Mary and her heart in a special way and to spread devotion to Mary among the people of God. Furthermore, he encouraged the sisters to meditate on the cruel sword of sorrow that pierces Mary's heart and to obtain from the divine mercy interior grace for sinners, as Mary did. And this was mentioned in a few of the other talks that we have heard in the novena so far. Yet in all of his writings, the point that I had never realized was that Father Masvidal never offered a theological doctrine of devotion to the Immaculate Heart. The reason why this caught my attention is because devotion to Mary and the theological and doctrinal understanding of Our Lady has been developing throughout time. Father Masvidal did not explain why he did not offer a theological doctrine of devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Yet, it is interesting to note that his lived example of devotion to Mary and his communication of our charism providentially allowed for receptivity to and appropriation of the theological doctrines that were expounded upon before he founded the community, and then also those that have developed afterwards. Thus, in our community, through prayer and discernment, we have taken great efforts to study and to internalize the great doctrinal truths that have been revealed about Our Lady. True devotion to Mary is always grounded in and guided by sound doctrine about Mary. During our initial formation, our sisters take a class in Mariology. We seek to better understand the mystery of who Mary is and her special vocation by studying Scripture, the tradition of the Church, and the many magisterial teachings that have come forth. We also consider the various Marian apparitions that have happened throughout history. We employ many other resources throughout our initial and ongoing formation, from the writings of the saints and other scholars, to nourish our minds with the truths of the faith about Mary and to help us to better know her. After studying about Our Lady, one cannot help but come to a deep admiration of her greatness. Yet, esteem for Mary is not enough. Why? Salvation history shows us, from the very beginning, how God prepared for Mary to assume her unique role in relation to both God and man. She is the woman, the one who is full of grace. She has a singular relationship with the Holy Trinity as daughter of God the Father, mother of God the Son, and spouse of the Holy Spirit. Because of this, God also ordained for Mary to have a transcendent and unparalleled relationship with every human being. She did not create this relationship, nor did we. It is by divine design that the relation between Mary and the Christian is one of mother and child. Thus, Mary has a very powerful sway over the human soul, not because of nature, but because of the order of grace. This divine arrangement exists whether we acknowledge it or not. Are we unaware, or are we aware, of the magnitude and the implications of this reality? Are we convicted enough to know how to respond to this God-designed relationship between Mary and our soul? This is why I said earlier that esteem for Mary is just not enough. In response to this truth, Father Masvidal invited the sisters to a perpetual and total participation in Mary's sublime life and to be a sign that was living and operative. In fact, the Lord extends this invitation, this relationship to be one with Mary, to be her child. He extends this to every soul, and it is given a special character at our baptism. Each one of us is invited to become a living icon of Mary, to think, to speak, to act like Mary, to love God, and to love our neighbor, as Mary does. This is no small order. In fact, how is this even possible? The only fitting way to respond to this supernatural reality is to deliberately participate in our relationship with Mary. The best way to cultivate this relationship is through fervent consecration. When I was 18, I recognized the reality that I was called to a deeper relationship with Mary. It was also a time in my life where I greatly desired to respond to her in this relationship. I was encouraged to use St. Louis de Montfort's 33 days of preparation for total consecration. All of our sisters also use this or some other form of preparation for consecration. After persevering through what felt like on the spiritual level, hurricanes, tornadoes, and thick, muddy trenches, somewhat similar to what you experienced coming in tonight. It sounds like I'm exaggerating, but it was pretty close to that description. There seemed to be a lot of spiritual obstacles in the way of my preparation to offer myself to Our Lady through this total self-donation. I finally made it to the day of my consecration, and I don't know if I thought it was going to be like a switch that you just turn on and all of a sudden, like, I'm devoted to Mary and it's going to be 100% total self-gift. I don't really know what I was thinking. But I do remember that as time went on, after that day of my consecration, the luster, the fervor of my initial desire to give myself to Our Lady seemed to dwindle. I prayed the rosary every day. I invoked Our Lady through special daily prayers, yet there seemed to be something lacking. The next year, I repeated the process. The same challenges, spiritual interior challenges, still seemed to be there. But I went through the preparation. I was able to again offer myself to Our Lady to renew my consecration. And in that, I tried to keep up that practice of yearly renewal. And at the same time, also offering my daily devotional practices in the between times. With all of that considered, I still remember thinking to myself, something's missing. What's not right about this? Over the years, I studied about Our Lady. I put forward my best efforts at times and my half-hearted efforts at other times. But I was desiring to know her and to love her more. After reflecting back upon this journey, I recognize now that I didn't fully realize the fundamental key to consecration. It was the answer to that lingering idea, something is missing, but I didn't know what that was. I thought if I had a reverence for Mary, if I invoked her name, if I visited her shrines, if I performed daily practices in her honor, and even tried with my best yet fallen efforts to imitate her virtues, then that was enough. All of those practices are very good and highly encouraged. Yet what I didn't understand was that in themselves, they fall short. They don't measure up to the full extent of devotion that I was being called to and that every one of us is called to. No one is called to have just an ordinary devotion to Mary. Remember what we considered earlier. God's divine arrangement and what he intends for us. Every soul is created for the depths of devotion to God and to Our Lady. We are called by God and through his design to totally abandon our souls to Mary, to live in a state of perpetual consecration, to experience a loving fusion of souls with Mary. God prepared her for this universal vocation from the moment of her conception, and she is fully living that. However, for many of us, her children, we are not fully living out our side of the relationship. What is devotion to Mary? A great way to answer that question is by looking at the essence of consecration. Qualities of a deeply lived consecration include thanking Mary, having a sincere gratitude to her in the depths of our heart. Praising Mary, considering her glories which surpass all other created beings. Thinking of her, allowing our thoughts to be her thoughts. Imitating her, whether we're perfect at it or not, and continually striving to go back to her and strive again. Identifying ourselves with her. Inviting her into every single aspect of our life, all the exterior, all the interior, allowing ourselves to be immersed into the very heart and soul of Mary. Studies have shown that the best way to learn a language is full immersion. I've never tried that, but I hear that it works. What a coincidence. The same applies for our spiritual life. The best way... dramatic pause. To grow in devotion to Mary is by full immersion. The last quality of a deeply lived consecration, which I would like to consider, is embracing the belief in our mind and forming the movement in our heart to turn away from rugged independence on ourselves and our personal resources and to surrender ourselves to a total and radical dependence on Mary. I think this total dependence on Mary is the most challenging for adults because it is the exact opposite of how we live on the natural level. From the time we are born, we progress steadily on the natural level towards a greater independence from our mothers. This is good, it is healthy, and it's actually the way we were created. However, when it comes to the spiritual life, this natural reality that we are so familiar with does not work. In the spiritual life, we are to strive to become entirely dependent upon the Lord and Our Lady for everything. In addition to that, it would be likened to the state of a child that never left its mother's womb. By God's design, we are called to a radical spiritual dependency on our Heavenly Mother. God bestowed upon Mary such sublime gifts in the order of grace that she would be the vessel through which the spiritual life of every single human soul would be nurtured. It is good for us to be aware that self-sufficiency in the spiritual life greatly offends God, and it presents real obstacles to our spiritual growth. In fact, it dangerously counters our ability to deepen our devotion to Mary. Are you willing in humility to acknowledge your own awkwardness in God's presence, the clumsiness of your prayers, the admixture of selfishness in everything you do, and how much you need Mary to help you to approach the Lord in His unequaled sanctity? I took some time to think about that. That is a hard reflection. How weak is our faith? We are surrounded by an environment of relativism, materialism, and even atheism. It penetrates into every pore of society. Love of truth and the worship of God have become very weak in the hearts of men. We need Mary more desperately now than ever. It has been said that the whole faith of the nascent church was concentrated in her soul. Mary stands before us as the perfect pattern of faith. In comparison to God, it is true, Mary is nothing. Yet in comparison to all His creatures, she is the greatest, and He has wrought more in her than in any other creature. The church receives from Mary's fullness as Mary shares in Christ's fullness. To be totally dependent requires a process of emptying. May we today respond to the conviction to offer to the Holy Spirit our emptiness. It is an attribute of God to create something out of nothing. Give Mary, who is spouse of the Holy Spirit, the refulgence of His grace, the unbounded permission to offer your soul to God, to be open to His action, to be stripped of your fallen human perceptions, to be divested of all false self-love, and then through her to receive the outpouring of His grace that perpetually flows from Him through the heart of Mary to you. St. Louis de Montfort said that when the Holy Spirit finds Mary, His bride, in a soul, He flies there and enters there in His fullness, and He communicates Himself to that soul abundantly. Should you really give yourself totally to Mary, completely, fully, without reserve? I pray, and I imagine, that each one of you wants to respond with a jubilant yes. So the real question then that I will leave you with to ponder, especially during Holy Hour, is the question how. Consider for yourself, how can I live an intense devotion to Mary and to her heart? Ask Mary to help you to know what you need to do today to give yourself more fully to her and through her to live totally for Christ.